morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, boy, that's pretty good for early in the morning and on a Sunday when you could have slept in. But you didn't, and I'm glad you didn't. I had to get up extra early because I had an hour and three quarters drive this morning to get here. And so by the time I got showered and shaved and shined and shampooed and got on the road, there was a lot of traffic. I was surprised Sunday morning. There was a lot of traffic on I-80. Turn your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 15. The second book of the Bible, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 11. And we're just going to read verse 11 to 14. In fact, we'll read down to verse 15. So, verse 11 to 15. And I'm going to be teaching this morning. If I can find my remote, I left it somewhere.
Yeah.
What am I doing with it? Hold on. I'm an old person. You have
to forgive me. Sorry.
I
write
it down somewhere. It's on the
table, isn't it?
What's that?
Is it on the table right there?
No. That's not it. I thought I put it in my pocket, and then it's not there. Anyway. You didn't go up that fast, did you? No, I didn't. I used to stick it up on the pulpit, but I thought, well, we're going to teach down here. I'm going to say, yeah, somewhere.
You didn't put it right on your pocket right in school?
Nope. Unless I can go over
that.
I wonder if...
No, that's my name.
Oh, it's on the floor. Thank you, sir. Boy, I'm glad somebody's with it this morning. Doesn't happen to be me, unfortunately. All right. I'm going to be teaching on a subject that deals with the nation of Israel. There's a map of the Mideast. And we're going to be talking about the Mideast and why it's so important and why all the world's attention is focused on Israel. And by the way, God's attention is focused on Israel. The only nations that are mentioned in the Bible are mentioned in relationship to the nation of Israel. Now, I want to read something in this passage, verse 11. Moses is writing under inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed." You know, he was the deliverer. "Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." Now verse 14 and 15 are the verses I want to focus on. "The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of," what's that word?
Palestina.
Palestina. "Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of where? Canaan shall melt away." What I've done in my Bible is I underlined the word Palestina, and then I underlined the word Canaan, and I drew a connecting line between them. Palestinians are Canaanites. There are no Canaanites alive today. So therefore, there are no Palestinians alive today. People who claim to be Palestinians are liars. And that's about the nicest thing we can say about them. Now there's poor little Egypt, that little yellow country that you see there. It's smaller than the size of New Jersey these days because they've given away so much of the land after the Six-Day War. And that triangle represents the approximate landmass that was promised to Israel with the Abrahamic covenant. So that little tiny yellow area is where they live. That triangular area is all their land that God promised to them in the Abrahamic covenant. And I'm going to try to demonstrate that to you. Now, if you know anything about the Abrahamic covenant, you know that he said, you know, from the east to the west to the north to the south, all those areas I will give you. But they have never inhabited all the land. When Moses went into the Holy Land, into Canaan, he was to conquer all of the Palestinians or the Canaanites, and he and Joshua both failed to do that. As a result of that, they ended up with a much smaller portion than they were promised. Now, what I'm going to try to do today is I'm going to try to settle a problem that no president since Harry Truman has been able to solve. And I'm going to do it
with 100% accuracy, because I'm going to do it from the Bible, not from my own little pea brain. Okay? And so I'm going to try to settle what the world is all in arms about, all upset about. The United Nations has just declared that they are going to unilaterally make a Palestinian state, meaning they will take Judea and Samaria in Israel, which is most of what little land they have left, away from them, and make it a Palestinian state. Now, I personally don't believe that will happen, but in any event, that's what they plan on doing. So, my question is this. Why should the United States support Israel against Mahmoud Abbas, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, etc., 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 all those, and including Libya, Ethiopia, Russia, Syria, Jordan, all these other countries that surround the nation of Israel? Why should we support Israel over them? And who should really be in the land? How many of you remember the name Yasser Arafat? Okay, yes, almost everyone. Arafat was the head of the Palestinian Authority. The only problem was he wasn't a Palestinian, because number one, he wasn't a Canaanite. Number two, he wasn't even a Palestinian under today's definition of Palestinians, because he was an Egyptian who married a Roman Catholic woman. And that should have disqualified him, but in the eyes of the world, they just shoved that aside. The other question we want to talk about is, don't the so-called Palestinians also have some rights on the land of Israel? And I'll just give you the answer now. They don't. You say, well, why can't the Jews and the Arabs live peacefully in the land? The answer to that question is, they do whenever Israel's in charge. Israel's the only country I know of that has their enemies as members of their governing body, the parliament. The Arabs are allowed to have seats on the parliament, even though they are the terrorist enemies of the nation of Israel and want to see Israel completely eliminated. The picture you see of Israel up here is pretty much the way it looks today, with the exception, right in here is the Gaza area, and now they're getting a chunk of that taken away from them because the last prime minister gave the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians, and every day they fire rockets and missiles into Israel, every single day, nonstop. Now, you're living here in New Jersey, and I live in Pennsylvania. Suppose we decided in Pennsylvania we were going to lob missiles and rockets into New Jersey every day. What do you think we would do? Well, you would rise up against that and retaliate. That's exactly what Israel does. And then the whole world goes against the nation of Israel. All the headlines are against Israel. If a Palestinian, quote unquote, if an Arab gets killed, if a Muslim terrorist gets killed, then that's the headline. Israel killed a terrorist. They don't tell you that the reason why they did was because they've been bombing with rockets and with missiles. Now, just remember that Palestine or Palestina in our text includes that whole area that I showed you earlier, which means the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised to the nation of Israel. You say, well, how do you know it belongs to them? Because the land is holy. You know the Bible calls us holy? You know what that means? Anybody know what holy means?
Yeah.
Set apart. That's exactly right. Set apart. God had set apart a piece of geography. I want you to get that. A piece of geography called the land of Canaan, and had called it holy and given it to the nation of Israel. Now, Palestine or Palestina, all the land of Canaan. Notice I emphasize the words land, because the Bible is a book about the land of the nation of Israel, primarily, along with some other subjects we'll talk about. Israel was to occupy the land of Palestine, the Sinai, Lebanon, parts of Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the East Bank, and Damascus. That was their original land grant by God, and God called the land holy.
It says, and the Lord shall inherit Judah his fortune in the Holy Land, a land that has been set apart by God, and shall choose Jerusalem again. So, the land is holy. How do we know? Because God told Moses it was holy. I just was interested. I watched the Ten Commandments again. Every Easter they run the Ten Commandments with. And I get confused. I never know if the guy in the movie, whether that's Moses or Charles Heston. I get them mixed up all the time. But the bottom line is, I remember how he, and by the way, this was done way back in the 50s. And they didn't have all the special effects and computers and all that, but they did a pretty good job with that movie. When Moses was called by God out of the burning bush, you saw this bush burning, but it wasn't consumed. And God said something to Moses. He said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is, what's those next two words? Holy what? Ground. So it's all about the land. It's about the ground. It's about the geography. So God said to Moses, this is holy ground. Ground that I have set apart for Israel. For you. And you will lead the children of Israel. Now, the word holy, as our brother defined it for us, means something set apart. We would use the word sanctified. God calls us sanctified or holy. We've been set apart for Him. We're part of His family. It's related to words like halo and hollow, or hallow, I mean, and help, and refers to something in perfect condition, in a good state. So God says, look, in my eyes, the land is holy. By the way, in God's eyes, you're holy. You ever sin? Clara sins. Can you believe that? Clara, how dare you sin? All of us do. But in God's eyes, we're holy. We are as if we never sinned. That's what justification is all about. Just as if I had never sinned. And so God justifies us despite the fact that we're not holy. But He's saying that you're in His mind, you're in a completed or perfect state. So your state is that you are holy or perfect in God's sight. Your standing may be something altogether different. And Clara, when you sin, your standing isn't holy, but your state is. And when God looks at you, He doesn't see your sin or mine. He sees His Son, because we're clothed in His righteousness. In the New Testament, the word holy is applied to a place. That's Israel. It is also applied to a child. The Bible says, my holy child, Jesus. It is applied to the Bible, the Holy Bible. It is a Bible that is perfect in the sight of God, and by the way, ought to be in the sight of men. The word holy is applied to holy men of God. We are set apart. Prophets and preachers. It is applied to a holy angel. That's the angel of the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in an angelic form in the Old Testament. It's applied to a mount, Mount Zion. God calls it His holy mount. It's applied to a city, Jerusalem. And no other city is called holy. Rome is not called holy in the Bible. Over in Saudi Arabia, where the Kaaba is, where the Muslims go at least once in their life, they're supposed to make a pilgrimage to the Kaaba and worship there. But God doesn't call that holy in Saudi Arabia. There's no city on the earth, including Washington, D.C., that God calls holy, but He calls Israel holy. And the city that is the capital, He calls holy. Holy Jerusalem, or holy Mount Zion. And He calls a priesthood of believers holy. We are a holy nation. That is, collectively together, we make up that holy nation. So, God told Moses the land was holy. Now, I want you to get that. Anybody here been to Israel? I've been there twice. It doesn't look very holy. I mean, it's as bad as most cities. You know, when you go to Jerusalem, it's as bad as most cities. And you may not be aware of this, but the city, the walled, old walled city of Jerusalem is 90% Arab, not Jews. They don't belong there, but they're there, and they run most of the shops and so forth inside of the old walls of the city. But God said that ground is holy. It doesn't matter what it looks like. To God, it looks holy. Just like to God, you all look holy. You look perfect. You look like you're in good condition. Now, it will have a perfection in the millennium when Christ comes back and sets up His throne and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. So, the land is holy, and God told Moses to take off his shoes because the land where he was standing was holy ground. By the way, when that happened, this was Moses' call to lead the people into the land of Palestina, or what we would call Canaan. Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey, God promised. And of course, that wasn't the way it was back there in Egypt. They were slaves. But he's going to lead you to a land flowing milk and honey. I was reading something about Israel. I get a couple of Israeli newspapers delivered to my door, and I was reading something about it, and I was astounded at this. Israel is the leading producer of honey in the world. Now, I don't know whether you know about the death of bees, but bees are dying by the millions, and nobody seems to understand why. They don't know whether it's pollution or pesticides or just what it is, but Israel is the number one producer of honey in the world, and it is a top producer of milk for the world. So it literally is a land flowing with milk and honey. And if you include all those other nations that we saw in that triangle picture that God originally promised to His children, then you get some idea of what we're talking about there. Moses was standing on Mount Sinai when God said, "The land is holy. Take your shoes off, Moses." By the way, Joshua had to do the same thing a little later on. And God told Joshua it was holy. Now, anything that God calls holy will cost something. I want that to sink in because God calls us holy. If you're saved, God says that we are holy. And it costs you something. He said, "What? Know ye not that you're bought with the price?" What did it cost? It cost the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation cost Him His blood. And the land that He called holy will have to be purchased or paid for in blood. And ultimately, the land will be completely cleansed by bloodshed of unimaginable proportions in the Battle of Armageddon, which we'll talk about in the morning service. Now, here's what God told Joshua. "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is," what's the word?
"Holy."
Holy. And Joshua did so. So both Moses and Joshua were told that the land that they were to conquer was holy land. Special land that was set apart by God for His people Israel. So, if that's true, and the original inhabitants were the Canaanites, how dare the children of Israel go in there and kill all those Canaanites? Think about that. There were a lot of people living in the land. God said, go in there and wipe them all out. Men, women, and children. Kill them all. Anybody here have an idea why God told them that? Yes.
Really, really
little.
You know, like the old.
Okay.
Overwhelming. I mean,
they've seen. What were they worshiping?
False idols.
False gods. Idols. God did not want His people contaminated with idolatry and with immorality. There were homosexuals in the land. Every time a revival breaks out in the Bible in Israel, the first thing the king does is get rid of the homosexuals, all the Sodomites. Because God doesn't want His people living together side by side with people that have no morals and who are disgracing their own sex by involving themselves in sexual immorality. Plus,
and this ought to ring a bell, not only are we dealing with homosexuality in America, and they're very active, and but they were killing babies. They were offering their babies on the altar of the false gods, and now we're doing the same thing we call it abortion. Millions and millions, I believe the number is up to 60 million babies have been murdered since Roe v. Wade, and there were plenty of them before that.
I believe God's populating heaven
with a lot of babies that are being aborted.
Some from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation will be there. We'll say more about that as well. Now, even Rahab the harlot.
Rahab the harlot recognized that the land was holy. And Rahab sent unto the men, that's the two spies that were sent in. Who were those two spies? Anybody know?
The two spies who came back with a positive report.
Caleb and Joshua.
Caleb's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You know why? Because it said he wholly followed the Lord. It says that about him six times. I don't know that it says that about any other man in the Bible. Caleb wholly followed the Lord.
So Rahab said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the what?
The land.
And that your terror has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of what?
The land.
Faint because of you.
Rahab and the people that dwelt in Canaan had heard about the miracles that God did to get them out of Egypt. And so they were fearful. And so they gave the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, an idea that they would melt when the nation of Israel moved in as an army to take over the land. Now, only one piece of land is called holy on earth. It's Israel. No other piece of land is called holy. We've already established that. Only one book is called holy. That's this book. Not the Quran.
Not the Bhagavad Gita. Not the Quran. Not the Upanishads, not the Book of Mormon, none of those other so-called sacred books are called holy. Only the Bible is called holy. Now here's what's weird. Today, if you were to burn a Koran, woe be unto you in America. But if you burn a Bible, nobody would get upset. But the Bible is the one that God calls holy, not the Koran. Something wrong with our values.
Only one city is called holy. That's Jerusalem. Only one mountain is called holy. That's Mount Zion.
Now, the Bible says this, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation.
By the way, Mount Zion is where Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac. And God said that's holy. In Psalm 78, it says, moreover, he refused the tabernacle from Joseph, chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved.
So God says, hey, there are a few things that I treasure in this world. As steeped in sin as it is, and as difficult to live in as it is for believers and try to live holy, God says, there's one piece of geography I call holy.
He says this about the rest of us.
It says, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of a balance. Behold, they take up the isles, that is, as a very little thing.
God says, unless they are properly related to my chosen people, Israel, you're just like a piece of dust. He doesn't value the rest of the nations like he does Israel.
I was thinking about all the nations where we call ourselves a superpower. You know what God does in heaven? He goes, eh! Yeah.
It's just like the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter who wins. God goes, eh! He's not interested. Or the World Series. Any Phillies fans here? No? No Phillies. What are you? What? Oh, my.
I'm in the wrong place.
I'm okay because I'm not a sports fan at all.
The bottom line is,
God said, hey, unless it has to do with my people Israel, it is relatively unimportant to me
Whenever he mentions other nations, he mentions them as they affect Israel. Here's our problem. Our present administration has turned its back on the nation of Israel. The year 2010, the year that just passed, we set historic records for every violent type of weather you can imagine. Whether you're talking about mudslides, wildfires, tornadoes, tsunamis, hurricanes, cyclones, earthquakes, the whole gamut. Cold, heat, every kind of weather. We set records, and I believe God is trying to get the world's attention.
Amen.
We've all turned, by the way, Japan just had that giant tsunami. During World War II, Japan cooperated with Nazi Germany in the extermination program of Israel and is one of the most anti-Semitic nations in the world today. So God said, okay, I'll try to get something to wake them out, you know? And so he sends a tsunami and an earthquake and now a radioactive meltdown. So God is angry today with the world because they've turned their back on the nation of Israel, what he calls holy. All nations before him are as what? Nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing. And vanity. Vanity means nothingness. Vanity is a bubble. You ever blow bubbles when you're a kid? Yeah. You know, you go to reach for it and it disappears. That's God says all the nations of the world, just like a bubble. Don't worry, you know, we strut around the United States of America, the great superpower. God says, it's nothing. Unless we have adjust our attitude toward the nation of Israel, we are counted as nothing. Our present administration, fortunately, did not cooperate with the United Nations, who wanted to unilaterally declare a Palestinian state in Israel, including Judea and Samaria. The United Nations has issued a decree that Israel include Judea and Samaria into a Palestinian state, and that the rest of the nations of the world ought to recognize that Palestinian state. And God is not happy with what's going on there. We'll say more about that in the morning service. Now, I want you to get this because most Christians don't understand this. The Bible is not a book about religion. You say, wait a minute, isn't that our book? Yeah, that's our book, but it's not about religion. It's a book about history and geography. It's about a piece of land. Oh, and it's, of course, about redemption. That line of blood that runs through the Bible goes from Genesis in the Garden of Eden, when God slaughtered an animal to cover Adam and Eve's sins, all the way till the last chapter in the last book of the Bible, where the wrathful lamb, the one who was the wounded lamb, shows up. And the history is about one piece of geography, and that is the nation of Israel. I hope you're getting some idea as to how important God sees his people Israel. It deals with that piece of geography from which the three major religions of the world were spawned. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. By the way, if you are anti-Semitic, you're not a good Christian. You may claim to be saved, but you're not a good Christian if you're against the Jews. Your Savior was a Jew. This book is a Jewish book. You better not hate the Jews. You better love the Jews. They are God's chosen people. I'm Ukrainian, but God didn't choose Ukrainians. You're Italian, you said, and along with a few other things mixed in. And God didn't choose Italians. But he did choose the nation of Israel. And he chose those people. And even though they're on a sidetrack right now because they rejected Christ, the Bible says he came unto his own. That's the nation of Israel. And his own received him not. But the next part of the verse is good. Amen? It's a promise. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So now we are his chosen people. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The Bible talks about this piece of real estate which will determine the outcome of man's history globally and heralds ahead of time the total destruction of every political, religious, and scientific institution and system that has ever been devised by man, including the United Nations. Remember what God said about the nations? It's like a piece of dust. Less than nothing. Well, he's going to take care of the United Nations. By the way, the United Nations has sponsored 190 wars since their formation.
Say, well, wait a minute, don't they send peace troops in? Yeah, they do. But they stir up a lot of the problem that they later have to try to correct.
Here's what God says, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations." Get that? "I will make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee." They're scattered worldwide. The nation, you will find Jews in every country in the world. That's why the tribulation period is the time of Jacob's trouble. That is, the focus is on Israel, but it spills over to the whole world because there are Jews everywhere. Alright? Now, he says, "Yet I will I not make a full end of thee," that's Israel, "but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." He's going to punish Israel, but he's not going to destroy Israel. All the other nations of the world will be destroyed according to God's promise. Number two, the land not only is declared holy by God, but it belongs to the Jews. I want that to sink in also. You say, how do you know that? Because God says so. Here's what God says. He said, "I will give unto thee, Abraham, and to thy seed after thee," the what? The land. It's about geography. It's about a piece of dirt, if you please. The holy land. He says, "Wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, I will be their God." We're going to take a quiz right now. In the Bible, who are the Palestinians? Remember when we started the lesson? What are they called in the Bible? What? You can pronounce it. Yes. Canaanites. There you go. There are no Canaanites anymore, therefore there are no Palestinians anymore. The only real Palestinians that are there now are the Jews. And God says He has given them the land of Canaan for a what kind of possession?
Everlasting
possession. In other words, it will always be theirs. The Arabs, the Muslims, have no claim on the land. God gave it to the children of Israel. Woo! That'll get some people upset real quick, especially all the Muslims in the world. Here again is a picture of that land. Notice that in that triangle you have parts of Iraq, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Ethiopia, Libya. Right now you see all this turmoil going on over in the Mideast. We're going to kind of focus in on that in the morning service and why it's happening. So God says that the land belongs to the Jews. By the way, even Muhammad said it belongs to the Jews. You say, what? Yeah? I have in my notes here, let me see if I can quickly find it. In the Quran, in Surah 5:21 through 25, and chapter 7, verse 161, declares that the land of Palestine belonged to the 12 tribes of Jacob, or Israel. Now, you won't get anybody, by the way, if you're ever talking to a Muslim, you ought to ask them what the Bible, what the Quran says about who that land belongs to. Now, the average Muslim will not know. Because the average Muslim is like the average so-called Christian in America. They say they believe the Bible, but they don't read the Bible or study the Bible. And by the way, good, I'll throw this in, it won't cost you any extra, brother. What's your first name?
Bob,
won't cost you any extra. But the King James Bible is the only Bible in English that commands us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. All the other English versions remove that word study. Now, I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. Who do you think would want to keep God's people from studying the Word of God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or Satan? You got it. So stay away from satanic Bibles that
leave out the command to study the Word of God. So, not only does the Bible say that the land is holy, but even the Quran says, and I think that was a slip-up by Muhammad when he put that in the Quran. I don't think he knew what he was doing. I think God overruled and inserted that. So if you're witnessing to a Muslim, point out to him that he needs to search his Quran and find out exactly where it says in two different places that the land belongs to the children of Jacob or the children of Israel. Now, the only kingdom or state that ever existed in the land of Canaan after the 33 kings were slaughtered in Joshua chapter 12 was a Jewish state, the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. All genuine Palestinians since 1400 BC are Jews. The Assyrians came in, the Babylonians came in, the Persians came in, the Greeks came in, they all conquered the land, but none of them set up a state there. Even the Turks and the Ottoman Empire did not set up a state there in the land. And in that, by the way, that's history, and any Muslim who tries to claim otherwise is a liar. And you can tell them I said so. This won't be my address. Now, actually, this is funny. I use those chick tracks a lot, you know, those little comic tracks. I have a whole bunch of them in my car right now. I don't know what I meant. You got one in my pocket. Oh, here's a $3 bill with Obama's picture on it. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean that word for that. Anyway, I use these tracks. And so they have a track now that talks about this whole subject that we're dealing with here. And right down in my neighborhood, there's a Muslim community center. I think that it's an Al-Qaeda cell. I don't know. But I go down and I go past that all the time. So one day my wife and I go past. Every time we go past, I say to my wife, "Do you have any grenades in your pocketbook?" She never carries any grenades. I can't figure that out. But we're going down there one day, and I said, I'm going to stop there. Well, they have like five different tracks for Muslims, like this one with the cartoons in it. You know? One of them says, "Allah hath no son." One of the things they have against our Bible is that the Bible teaches that God had a son, which is Jesus. They don't like that. So they made this track, "Allah hath no son." Another one says, "Men of peace?" And have a bunch of Arabs with AK-47s on the cover. And then another one is, "Allah is not God." And then there's one called, Love the Jewish People. So I got a whole bunch of them. I pulled in the driveway of the Muslim Cultural Center, and I went up to the mailbox, and I dropped them all in the mailbox. I told my son, he said, "Dad," he said, "they're going to find out who you are, they're going to come and kill you." I said, "Well, it won't be hard to find my house because I fly a Jewish flag out front." And I do. The second time I went to put tracks in their mailbox, they had a camera right over the mailbox. So I pulled in, and I had a license plate on my car at that time that said, "One cross plus three nails equals forgiven." I had that on the light. So I pulled up right in front of the camera so they could get a good picture of that. And then I went up, I put the tracks in, I waved at the camera, and I got my car. Now, so far they haven't come to get me, so you just pray for me, if you will. They'll probably show up at my door one of these days in the near future. But the history of the nation of Israel declares that there has never been a state until 1948, until way back when Joshua and Moses conquered there, when actually Joshua and the children of Israel conquered the land. Now, here's something else. The land, remember, it's all about the land. The land will be ruled by a king. Now, the question is, which king? Christ or Antichrist? Now, it's kind of a trick question, because both of them will rule the land. The Antichrist will rule the land for 7 years,
The Lord Jesus Christ will rule the land for 1,000 years plus all eternity. We'll talk about that later.
And which kingdom, God or heaven?
The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. When you study the Bible, especially the Gospels, you find out that John the Baptist preached this message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because Jesus was there. And the Jews crucified him because he didn't set up his kingdom. They thought that he was going to overthrow the Roman government and set up his kingdom, an earthly kingdom. That's called the kingdom of heaven. It's heaven's rule on the earth. You got that? Okay. Now there's another kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual kingdom. If you are saved, you already belong to the kingdom of God. And if you are saved and faithful to the Lord in this dispensation, the church age, you will get to rule and reign in the millennial kingdom or the earthly kingdom, that kingdom of heaven's rule on the earth.
Let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be what?
Born again.
He cannot see which kingdom? Kingdom of God. You only get into the kingdom of God by the new birth.
Amen. Here's what Peter said. This is a spiritual kingdom. Be what?
Born again.
Not of corruptible seed. Not by the Quran. Not by some other holy book. Not by the Book of Mormon. But of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As a result of that, the only way you can get in is by being saved through the preaching or teaching or reading of the Holy Word of God. I had a lady come visit my church one Sunday morning. Very attractive lady, very well dressed and so forth.
So my wife and I went to visit the house. And her husband wasn't home. He lived in a beautiful home and went in there, everything was in order. I just assumed she was saved. And I said to her, I said, by the way, when did you get saved? She said, oh, let me tell you about that. I said, oh, okay. So she said, I was washing dishes at my sink in the kitchen, and there's a window right there. It looks out over my backyard. There are two clothes poles out there and a clothesline between the two. And I'm thinking, what's this got to do with her getting saved? She said, all of a sudden, I saw Jesus' head appear on the clothesline. I said, you did? She said, yeah. I said, is that how you got saved? She said, yeah. I said, no, you didn't. She said, yes, I did. I said, no, you didn't. She said, I did so. I said, no, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come by seeing the head of Jesus floating on the clothesline. And then I said to her, I said, by the way, did Jesus' head have long hair? She said, yeah. I said, it wasn't him. And by the way, we proceeded to lead her to the saving knowledge of Christ. She became a member of our church. But she didn't get saved by seeing Jesus' head. I had asked her, I said, what did you do? Did you eat some pickles and ice cream before you went to bed or what? No, I didn't know what happened. Jesus answered and said this to Pontius Pilate before he was crucified. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, he said, is my kingdom not from hence.
Listen, the King James Bible is the only Bible in English that has that word now in it. Because they are all millennial Bibles. They don't believe in a millennial kingdom or a 1,000-year reign of Christ. If you have any version of the Bible in English besides the King James Bible, you turn it in and I'll make sure you get a King James Bible today. Okay? The real Word and words of the living God.
It is an earthly, physical, literal, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. That's the kingdom of heaven. Whenever Christians pray the so-called Lord's Prayer, they pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Every time you pray that, what you're saying is, you're hoping that the Lord will come back soon and establish his kingdom. I can tell you this much, it's at least 7 years away. But it is coming, and it's okay to pray that way. And I'm looking forward to when heaven's rule will be on earth. Because when God speaks in heaven, everybody jumps. Everybody knows exactly what He says in heaven. The angels all say, "Yes, sir. Whatever you say, Lord, yes, I'll go and do it right away." And that's the way it ought to be on earth, and it will be on earth during the millennial reign for all the believers. Amen. So, the Bible settles the Palestinian question, also settles the question of how a believer is to live. So my question to you is, how do you live? To whom does the nation of Israel belong? Which time? Who does it belong to, according to God? Who? Israel, the Jews. Boy, if you don't get that in the world, that's I failed. Who does the land belong to? The Jews. Who said so? God said so. That ought to settle the question. I see these bumper stickers every once in a while, brother, and it says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You just cross out that middle, I believe it. It don't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. You got that? And God said it. So the land belongs to Israel. That settles the Palestinian question. All right. We're going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon in the morning service. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Dear Father, we pray that we will live expecting the soon return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank and praise You for the opportunity we've had this morning of talking about this important question of the land. And Lord, that land also means that as Christians, we ought to live to please You because we too are called holy by the Lord Jesus Christ in His holy word. And we pray that You will help us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.